Welcome back to the show. Dave Runyon is a guy who knows how to get things done. In 2010, he launched a neighborhood movement that mobilized over 70 churches and 40,000 people in the Denver metro area. He's co-founder and director of City Unite, which helps government, business, and faith leaders unite around common causes. He's also written a book called The Art of Neighboring, Building Genuine Relationships Right Outside Your Door. He's my guest. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for doing the show. You know, when Jesus says love your neighbor, does he mean like generically, or does he mean your actual neighbors that live next door to you?
Well, for most of my life, I kind of thought of that as a metaphor or something that I could kind of choose how I wanted to love my neighbors.
Yeah.
But over the last few years, I've been coming to realize that there's great power in thinking not only about all of the other neighboring stuff that we do, people overseas, the people at work, the people on our kids' sports teams, but also that Jesus might have meant our actual neighbors too, and that something really special happens when you start building relationships based on proximity.
Yeah. So I know the listeners want to hear about this 2010 initiative you had where you mobilized all these churches and people in the Denver area.
Yeah, you know, we had a group of pastors, myself included, that were coming together trying to think about our city and thinking about what's the smartest thing that we could do. If we were going to all serve and act like we're on the same team and be on the same team, what's the smartest thing that we could put ourselves and give ourselves towards in our city? And in order to answer that question, we started meeting with local government leaders. And back in 2010, we were sitting in the room with our mayor. And we asked him that question of, you know, if you could wave a magic wand and change something in our city, what would you change? And he had a lot of great ideas, but at the very end, he just said this in passing. He said, you know, if you guys wanted to have the biggest impact in our community, you would start some kind of literal neighboring movement. And we just like, he was going to move on. We're like, no, go back and talk about that. He had no idea the irony of him telling us basically to do the Bible. But he was thinking about it from a very pragmatic standpoint. He just said, you know, what we're learning at the government level is that the closer that people are in relationship in their neighborhoods or in their apartments, the less weight there is on all the government programs that we're trying to create for people in need.
Yeah,
that was a fascinating thought.
Yeah, we don't think it's our responsibility anymore to show compassion and empathy. I think we figure there's got to be some government program or there's got to be some nonprofit that'll do that.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you think about this commandment that Jesus gives for us to love our neighbors, is it possible, Dave, that, you know, some of the problems that we have in our world today could be solved because they're sitting right underneath our noses?
Yeah, I think that's for sure true. I think as we start to get outside our front door and just do little things to lean in, you know, learn our neighbors' names, use their names when we see them, you know, ask to borrow something instead of driving to the store. Ask, you know, that neighbor that has a lawn that's way better than yours. Say, hey, what are you doing over there?
Like, uh-huh.
What do you do? You know, as we do those little things, we start to build relationships and connections with the people that live right around us. And as we do that, we start to care for each other out of relationship instead of out of programs. And so that's been one of the big, big takeaways for us over the last few years. And we've seen a lot of fruit from that in our city.
Okay, Dave, talk about the neighboring concept. What do you mean by neighboring? Because I think you're onto something.
Yeah, well, I think Jesus was onto something.
I agree.
You know,
we're just carrying the water
really
right now.
For me personally, you know, as a pastor, I was so busy doing all kinds of different things. I was sitting on different nonprofit boards. I had all these responsibilities at work. And then mostly I would just come home and crash.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really engaged with the people who God had placed right around me. And so my friend and I started to do this little exercise with people where we just asked people to write down their neighbors' names. Like just draw a little, in fact, I'll just do this with everybody, you know, that's listening right now. If you just kind of imagine, walk outside your front door and just imagine the 8 closest households to you. So if you live in an apartment, if you live in a condo, if you live on a ranch, whoever you are, you have neighbors. Now, if I asked you right now to just list off the names of the adults in those 8 units, How many do you think that you could do? How many can you just from memory, you know their names? Like for Bill, how many do you think you could do?
I just moved a year ago, so I would say out of the eight, I could do four.
Yeah, that's actually pretty high. Sadly, even for Christians.
Okay.
For Christians, that's a pretty high number. And most of us have met all those neighbors. We've waved to them multiple times. We've even gotten their names a few times, but some of them we've just forgotten them. And so I just learned there's great power in taking small steps, in learning somebody's name, and then just being curious about what are their interests, what are the things that they're passionate about, and then just being willing to live in a way in which you have enough pace. I'm sorry, you have enough margin. You're living at a pace where you have enough margin in your life that you can just start to take small steps towards the people who are open to it. There's a lot of the people that live around me, they really don't want to be my friend. They're really busy, and that's fine. But there's a lot of people around me that are, they're dying for something else. They're dying for something that's a little bit deeper than what they have.
Mm-hmm. So the question that must be answered right now is, you're talking about this grid, and if I picture the grid and I think, oh, okay, there's maybe four people I don't know, I feel a little bit of shame, perhaps, that I haven't reached out. So what is keeping us from getting to know our neighbors? What's the big stumbling block?
Yeah, well, hopefully, I don't want you to feel shame. I think we should all feel conviction.
Okay.
Because, but the two big stumbling blocks, I think, are time. You know, that's the biggest one, and then fear. I think that
fear of what?
When you turn on the news at any time and you see this, you know, this 24-hour news cycle of like story after story after story that are of people that are done some horrible things and that are really broken. That does something to our subconscious. And then when that person moves in next door, that's maybe introverted and lives alone, all these stories go through my head, right? All these excuses of like, I don't know if I want to get very close to that person. Who knows what's going on over there? And I think we don't give people the benefit of the doubt anymore. We tend to think the worst, and we get kind of locked up by fear around what may be going on in their life or how needy they might be.
Yeah.
You know, if we leaned in, what if they actually want to be around us? What would that look like?
What if they glom onto you? Then what?
Well, then you have to have some healthy boundaries and keep leaning in. Maybe God wants us to be around people. You know, there's a thought. What if as Christians, we're supposed to be the people on the front lines with the needy people in our culture?
Yeah. Well, I think that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So let's say that there's not reciprocation. We're trying to be friendly, and we drop something off as a hey, nice to meet you, and then there's zero reciprocation. Do we take a hint, or what do we do?
Yeah, I think, and I've had that experience in my life, Bill, where you know you kind of introduce yourself and you get their name, but you can just tell they don't have any interest. And I think one of the worst things we can do is try to stalk them and try to force yourself on them, you know. And I think Jesus talks about the principle of peace, you know, the person of peace, that you look for the person of peace. You look for the people who they reciprocate in some small way. You can just sense that, you know what, they're open. Maybe we could have them over for dinner sometime and, you know, watch the Vikings game or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always trying to figure out where is God opening doors and just having eyes to look for those open doors in my neighborhood. And That's borne out a lot of fruit.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a great idea is to be intentional about praying for your neighbors. And God does amazing things when you start to go to Him in prayer about how you might have an opportunity to connect with them on a deeper level.
Yeah. For me, a great tool to do that was the grid. You know, I just kind of put a little tic-tac-toe board up on my refrigerator. And I just imagined those eight houses around me. I was in the center.
Okay.
And I just started to write down their names. And as you write down their names, all of a sudden you'll start to remember their names and you'll use their names. And they do. They get inside of your thoughts and they get inside of your prayers. And then oftentimes that's the first step towards moving towards some of the people that are in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when you don't get a neighbor's name and now it's gone too long and you kind of feel embarrassed? So you call the neighbor, you know, captain or something, or hey, guy, you know, and
yeah, bro,
at what point,
bro, man,
hey,
bro,
yeah. Hey, chief, what's up? You know, what happens when you finally get to a point where you say, look, I'm embarrassed. I can't remember your name.
Yeah, well, I've experienced this in my own life, especially early on when I first started, when I first did that little exercise that I just led everybody through. I could only write down both adults' names in two of the eight units.
Okay.
And what I realized is I had met most of them. And so for me, it just meant going and initiating a series of mildly awkward conversations with my neighbors. And I just kind of ate crow and just said, you know, hey, I know we've met three times. I know I've lived next to you for 2 years, but I forgot your name. And the worst part, Bill, is when they knew my name. You know, they knew my name, and I had to admit that.
Yeah.
But I think that's the most important quality in becoming a person that does this neighboring thing well, is that we've got to be willing to lean into mildly awkward moments. It's mildly awkward to have that conversation with your neighbor. It's mildly awkward to ask for advice or ask them to help you move something in your garage. It's mildly awkward to invite somebody over for the first time into your home. But the return on the other end of that is huge. And so I feel like I travel around a lot, and I just encourage people, Christians, to lean into mildly awkward moments.
Yeah.
And to see what God does as a result.
Yeah. So, Dave, if we do get an opportunity and we're talking to our neighbors, what kind of questions or topics can get us to a deeper level?
Sure. You know, I think there's always a progression. In real relationships, they grow organically. And so you don't have to dive in and introduce yourself the first time and then ask them after you've just learned their name if they know where they're going to go if they die. I think there's – and God's really big. God could use that, but that hasn't worked in my neighborhood. I think what I've learned is just taking the next small step, you know, just taking the time to remember, oh, that person's uncle is really sick. Mm. And that's why, you know, there's a lot of people around their house. They were celebrating their uncle's birthday for possibly the last time. And just remembering that and then checking in and say, hey, how's your uncle doing? You know, or to just, you know, you notice that they love sports or they love cars, and to be able to ask a question about that. And then I think as you move down the line, just asking thoughtful questions that get you a little bit below the surface. Mm-hmm. You know, to ask somebody, you know, some of my neighbors are a little bit older than us. Their kids are grown. My kids are just now entering into high school. And I just asked, I said, hey, what are you learning about parenting? Or what do you wish you would have known about parenting teenagers at the start of this thing? And that's a real small thing. It's not some grandiose spiritual question. It's just, but it's a question that's below the surface. Or to ask somebody, hey, how did you end up as an architect? You know, what got you into that field?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think just being the kind of person that can live just a little bit below the surface, to ask questions to get you a little bit below the surface, I think that's that next step. And I think you get, you know, you'll get to the place where you're talking about the things that you love, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you believe in, the things that how you think the world works, why we think we're here. I think all of that comes if we just start to live below the surface with others.
Mm-hmm. So if you move into a new location, a new neighborhood, is it better to come out talking like a Christian or acting like one?
Well, I don't know. I think both. I'm not sure. Talking like a Christian for me means somebody who talks about trying to orient my life around the way that Jesus talks about living.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a person that's generous, being a person that's forgiving, being a person that's loving. But I think I would just say this, right when you move into a neighborhood, it's your best chance to start to get to know some of those people. Even for you, you've only been there for a year. You don't have to have any mildly awkward moments, right?
I don't. No, because I'm the new kid on the block.
That's right.
Yeah.
So being the new kid on the block is an asset.
Oh, very much so.
I think being willing to share about your spiritual life is great.
Yeah.
And I also think part of the genius of the neighboring thing is that your neighbors are always there. My neighbors see me when I have a horrible moment and lose my temper with my kid. And they see me when I have a good moment and my son does something that's really dumb and I don't freak out. And I think that, like, they're always there. My neighbors, they're there when I drive out of the neighborhood, and then they're there when I come back.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that makes those relationships different. And so I do. I think the way that we act and the way that we carry ourselves is really important.
Yeah. I'm talking to Dave Runyon, and we're talking about neighboring and his book, that he wrote is called The Art of Neighboring, Building Genuine Relationships Right Outside Your Door. If you've got a question for Dave or a comment about neighboring and what it's like to, what kind of luck you're having connecting with your neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. So glad you're with me today. Dave Runyon's my guest. He's co-founder and director of City Unite, and he's written a book called The Art of Neighboring, and we all have work to do when it comes to building our neighborly relationships, and he's giving us some great wisdom and insight. I also have a caller on the line that wants to jump in as well. Jonah is calling in from Coon Rapids. Hey, Jonah, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I just started tuning in. I'm on my drive back from work,
nice.
And I don't know if Mr. Runyon's covered this already, but I heard what he said about having an effect on your neighbors and the great time it is when you're new. My wife and I just moved into our neighborhood, and we've been meeting these wonderful people, and they've started telling us that we're having an effect on them, which was interesting because we haven't been knocking door to door.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm afraid of, like my wife and I have talked about trying to bring one of our new friends to church, for instance, and she's expressed openness, but I'm cautious about like turning it into too intense, too fast of a thing where I could alienate them. And I'm wondering if he has any advice on establishing proper human boundaries when you're trying to usher someone into the most important thing in your life and that you want them to have, you know, very intensely, a relationship with Christ and his church. Like, how do you – is there any proper means for not – going overboard too fast?
That's a great question, Jonah. You ask better questions than the host, so thank you for that. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Jonah. I appreciate that. And I have a number of thoughts on this. I think it's a really important question because what you're getting at is posture. And you were asking a little bit earlier, Bill, what are some of the good questions? So one of the best questions to ask somebody is just say, hey, so like, did you grow up with any kind of like faith tradition in your life? And that allows the person to kind of share with you, here's the background that I'm coming out of. Sometimes it's a background where they had a really negative experience. Sometimes it's a background where they kind of had a nominal experience. Sometimes it's something that they've been fully engaged in. And so that's one of the better questions, I think, to begin to bring the topic of our spiritual lives to the surface. And what you're getting at, Jonah, is this question around, I think what you're asking is, how do I do this without turning my neighbor into a project or into a target? And
right.
I think that's the right question. And I've seen this happen, and sometimes it can go wrong, because sometimes in our culture, a lot of times in our culture, when a Christian does something nice for a non-Christian or tries to engage them, a lot of times the non-Christian braces themselves for what weird things getting ready to happen to them. And that's because they've had some kind of experience along the lines where they just kind of felt like they got, you know, they were baited and there was a switch. And so one of the things that I've learned, the best mindset to go in with is this, is to know, you know, and I just ask you this question, like if you just knew your neighbor was never going to take a step towards God, do you think Jesus's command to love your neighbor still stands?
Yes.
And for me, it does. And I just found when we go in with that mindset, when we go in thinking, you know what, this is a discipline. This isn't an evangelization tool. It's kind of this contrarian thought. If you go into this thinking this is an evangelist, I'm going to evangelize somebody, sometimes it doesn't go very well at all. But if you go in thinking this is a discipline, this is a lifestyle that Jesus has commanded us to live, I've just learned that people come to know Jesus all over the place. And they can tell, oh, wait, this is a genuine person who's reaching out to me to build a relationship. And it creates an openness to sharing our whole lives with one another. And so I would just encourage you, you know, I think if you're sensing an openness, I would do one of two things. I would, one, yeah, I mean, inviting them to your place of worship is a great idea. The best thing you could do is just begin to lean in with them and just ask questions about what they've experienced from the church. Just say, hey, listen, I'm actually like thinking about inviting you to come with us to church. But I just don't know if that's weird for you or if you've had any weird church experiences in your past or if it's something you'd be interested in doing. And I think when we come in with that kind of posture, it leads to a lot of good things.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for answering that question. That I really appreciate it. I have a follow-up question, but I don't want to take up time. Do you have time for a follow-up?
If it's a short one, John, because I think this is a great topic.
I'm wondering how much you spoke about discipline, and I appreciate that you showed that it wasn't just a bait and switch. I'm curious how much in the discipline of trying to reach out to our neighbor, how much of your evangelization is a product of personal desire, like that you've cultivated for the good of your neighbor, and how much of it's like a, I don't want to say duty, you know, a sense of cultivated duty and discipline, but could you talk to me about like the desire being a part of?
You bet. I'm just like I'm a raging evangelist. Like when somebody comes to know God, comes to know Jesus, it just melts me. I mean, it's something you're seeing the kingdom break out in such a tangible way. And so I have a desire to see people meet Jesus and to begin to orient their lives around him and to experience eternity. And so for me, it really is, it's this deep, deep desire that I've had for a long, long time.
And I love the questions. And Jonah, I love your spirit. And if you were inviting me to go to church, I'd probably want to because you're such a nice guy. And
that's very kind.
Well, no, it's true. But there's also a sense of urgency we have in life where you go, they invited me to church and I got saved that day and my life was forever changed. I don't ever want to put restrictions on God saying, well, I need to give it a 6 months to a year of just getting comfortable before I take action. And that's not the case either.
Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you guys so
You're
much.
So
I
welcome,
really appreciate
Jonah.
It.
Yeah.
Have a great afternoon.
Yeah. See, don't I have smart listeners, Dave?
You're right. They ask better questions than you.
I know they do. Yeah, thanks for rubbing that one in.
you pointed that out. You pointed that out. No, that was great. Those are great questions.
Yeah, because I think, too, how cool it is that, you know, it might be, the time might be right now. So,
right.
You know, I'd never want to put restrictions on God saying, you know, you better let me spend some time with this neighbor before I get real with them and invite them to church. You just don't know what's going on.
I think
in our
we
life.
Need to be asking God, asking the Holy Spirit to prompt us. And one of the best, most practical things that we do with people is we just have invited them to say this simple prayer. And it's, God, what's the next small step that you want me to take with one of my neighbors?
Yeah,
and
I
think
love
if
it.
We're willing to get quiet, if we're willing to get quiet with God and to pray that prayer, he gives us a nudge, a thought. He speaks to us in a way that gives us something practical that then we can go and act out on.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just encourage everybody listening to think about that, to think about getting still with God and just saying, God, what's the next small step that you want me to take?
Yeah.
And then I think the word over and over says, it's not just about reading the word, it's about reading the word and then putting it into action.
Mm-hmm. So Dave, speak about just being a good neighbor. I mean, returning the belt sander that you borrowed a year ago and, you know, making sure your lawn is cut and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just being a good neighbor, too.
Yeah, I think when we as believers, this is one of the best testimonies that we have. You've touched on this earlier. The way that we live, the way that we interact with others, especially the people that are right around us, is one of the best ways that we can show what it means to be a Christ follower. And so I think just being thoughtful. And being aware, you know, just being aware of what's happening right around you is the best thing that you can do in your neighborhood. And sometimes we're going so fast, we're so busy, dropping our kids off at every different activity, getting home from work and still feeling like we have two more hours of work to do. Sometimes we live in this way in which we're not able to be aware. I love the word and being just interruptible. Jesus was interruptible.
Mm-hmm.
We see that over and over throughout the Gospels. And I think if we can live in a way in which we're interruptible, good things will happen.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I liked my neighbors until they put a password protector on their Wi-Fi. And then I had to go get my own Wi-Fi. So.
I love it.
Thanks for coming on to the show. It's just really been nice to talk to you. And I know this is a topic that everybody is interested in because it involves all of us today.
I'll tell you what, Bill, if people want to go and get like a free way to just download a grid that they can put on their refrigerator,
yeah.
or if they're pastors and they want resources, we give everything away that we can, and they can just go to artofneighboring.com.
Okay.
And they can check out all the resources that are there that'll help them start moving down the line in their own neighborhood.
I am there right now as we speak. I'm going to get this grid. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You betcha. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you so much for coming on. Dave Runyon has been my guest, and his book is The Art of Neighboring, Building Genuine Relationships Right Outside Your Door. You can check that book out. It looks like a great one. We're going to take say goodnight, because that's our show. But thank you so much for listening, and thanks to all my guests who were superb, and the callers. God bless everyone tonight. Have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow.